And welcome back to Sports the Nemo Way, the Chris Paul episode. Wow, about said version. Chris Paul, the 6 foot, 175 pound point guard, who is a zero time champ, zero time MVP. He's an 11 time All Star, 10 time All NBA, playing 16 years, or just finishing his 16th year in the NBA after being the fourth pick, and he is not yet a Hall of Famer as he is a current player. With career averages of 18, 4, and 9 on 50% shooting, I will now kick it over to Wade, who has him ranked the highest of anyone at 29th overall. And did you say 6th on your point guard list?
Correct, yes.
All right, Wade, what do you got for Chris Paul, buddy?
Well, I think with not trying to disrespect Drusev too much, I think Chris Paul has to be an automatic top 10 point guard. Between his career averages, career totals, and his accomplishments and accolades, it's very, very, very impressive. I think he's an automatic top 10 point guard. Where it gets tricky is where you put him in the top 10, mainly due to some up and down postseason success. We'll go with that for right now. But just for example, I mean, Alex hit on the 11 All-Stars and 10 All-NBAs. But he also has 4 assist championships, 6 steal championships, 9 all-defensive teams, an all-rookie team, an all-star game MVP, and rookie of the year. I mean, those accolades alone stand up against almost any point guard ever. Career averages of 18, 4, and 9 plus 2 steals are, again, ultra impressive. His career totals are very nice. I'm sure Uncle Doug will give you the down low on those.
I got it here.
I'll leave that to you. I think I have him as possibly as high as you can put him without winning a championship. And that's really what's holding him back at this point. That's all that's left. Yes, he doesn't have a regular season MVP, but I mean, he's been recognized as one of the best, if not the best, point guard in the league for 10 to 15 years now. And it's very impressive. Even without a regular season MVP, everyone acknowledges and respects Chris Paul. And the postseason up and downs is really why he's at 6. And I think, besides Drew, all of us have him in a very, very similar close spot, and that's why. And until he gets a championship, I think he'll stay where he's at on most of our lists.
Before we move on from Wade, who are the 5 guys you have ahead of him on your point guards?
All right, we have Magic,
right?
Isaiah Thomas, Oscar Robinson, Steph Curry, and the old J Kid.
All right, so very different than mine, I can say. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but...
Well, I know I have a little more love for Steph Curry than a lot of people in this room.
Well, not me. I mean, I don't know that
me
we...
Me and Drew are on the same page.
I don't know
I
that...
I got him up there, too.
No, never mind.
I believe all 5 of us have Magic at number 1 on our player list, correct? Yeah. Ray, you got him at number 1?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And I also have Isaiah ahead of Chris Paul. I don't know if the rest of y'all do.
I do too.
I do.
Negative.
Yeah. Ray does not. No. Okay. All right.
Really?
No, I've got Isaiah at 44.
Wow. He's my number 2 point guard.
He's my number 3.
Number 4.
I also have Kid, like Wade, ahead of Chris Paul.
Nah, I have Kid at 5.
Yeah. I have Kid at 7. I have him behind Paul.
I have one ahead.
I have Kid at 6.
I have Kid 1 ahead of them.
I have Magic and then Kuzi.
Yeah, I don't have Kuzi.
Kuzi's quite a ways down my list. Kuzi's at 8 on my
board. 10 on mine.
Kuzi's at 7.
He don't touch my list.
we'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
I have Stockton ahead of Paul.
I do too.
Now Stockton.
One spot, but ahead of him.
I think I miscalculated here.
I have Stockton at 5.
Stockton is one slot ahead of Paul. I missed his name. Stockton is 28. Chris Paul is 29.
Okay.
So I think Chris Paul might be my number 7. I apologize.
Okay, so you have him at 7 on your point guard list and 29 overall.
Yes.
I have him at 32 overall and 5 on my point guard list. Mm-hmm. Ray, you have him at 33 overall and where on your point guard list?
I don't know. I'd have to.
Okay. And then Uncle Doug, you have him at 36 and where
and
on
6.
Your, and 6.
Yep.
Okay, so the three of us, at least, we have to wait for Ray, but the three of us not only have him similar overall, we have him very, very close on our point guard list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I went back and relooked, and he is number 7 on my point guard list and 29 overall. Okay. I missed John Stockton being literally one name above him.
Okay.
Chris Paul is 6.
6. So, we have 3 sixes and a 5.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty.
I'm a 7.
Sorry. You just said that, yeah. So, a 5, 2 sixes, and a 7, and then nothing at all.
You're literally right in the same area for everyone except Paul Drusev.
All right. So, now that we got all that out of the way, people can hopefully visually see our lists a little bit better there. That moves us to me, who has him 32 overall and 5 on the point guard list for my opening statement on Chris Paul. It's short and sweet for me. I don't think there is an argument against my first statement that Chris Paul has been the best point guard of this generation. And just a couple stats to throw out there. Not that I'm trying to step on Uncle Doug's toes too much. I just have 2 stats on here. He's now 5th all-time in assists. And if he gets 60 more assists, he'll be 3rd. And he's 4th all-time in assists per game. So it's not just a longevity thing. Also, he's also 5th all-time in steals. And if he gets 13 more steals, he will be 4th. And he is 10th all-time in steals per game. So his per game and his overall totals for assists and steals, which are 2 of the main stats we look at point guards for, are very, very high in both spots. And that is my opening statement for Chris Paul, which will now send us to Ray, who has him at 33 and overall and 6th on his point guard list.
All right, kind of piggyback what you said. The man is 51 in points, 5th in assists, 4th in assists per game. Like you said, he's going to be, a few assists, and he'll be in 3rd. Another player I have is Mark Jackson. He's 4th in assists, so he would be passing him up to take him over. 10th in steals, 25th in free throw percentage. He is the modern-day point guard mold. I've talked before about Mark Jackson being the textbook point guard, but Chris Paul is the modern-day mold of a point guard. We know everybody's got Magic Johnson. He's probably the mold of all point guards ever. And we'll get into that at a later date. Let's see.
Much, much later date.
Yeah. So we can look at one modern point guard, if you want to consider him that. Westbrook. He's not really a point guard, more of a stat hunter. But then we have Chris Paul, who is an actual point guard. He's a leader, a mentor. We can look at this current season and the playoff run that the Suns had. The only 2 people that were on the Suns team that really were on a playoff team was Chris Paul and Crowder. So you can kind of see what the veteran leadership can do amongst being, good in a skill set. You also have to have some kind of, leader on a team, and Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the cornerstone of any team. If you were to draft somebody or trade for somebody or build around somebody, that would probably be the first person you would want to pick on any modern day team. He has battled back from injury to get to the finals only to lose, but any other player at his age would probably quit at this point of his career, but not this dude. He's coming back for more, maybe to grab a crown, maybe not. but his character and commitment and talent is why he's on my top 50.
Fair enough, right? So that will lead us now to Uncle Doug, with who has him 36th overall and 6th on his point guard list.
Yeah, I think Chris is, as everybody's already said, is just a typical, I mean, he's the prototypical point guard for this era. We've already talked about how high he is on the assists and steals. He is 47th all-time in points. His average is 124. We just talked about how he hasn't been an MVP, but his two best seasons, he averaged 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 11.6 assists, and lost the MVP to Kobe Bryant. Mm. Then the next year, he averaged 22.8 points, 5.5 rebounds, 11 assists, 2.8 steals, and lost the MVP to LeBron. So he's had some really good seasons and lost to, obviously, some all-time guys.
Some guys that we'll see on list much later.
Yes, much later. And so Chris has been, and as we were talking about, is his high, the numbers. We a lot of times will hear, you know, a player that has a long career will be high on the all-time numbers, but his averages may not be great. Somebody that gets hurt early or has a short career, it's the other way around. Paul's got both. So he's done it for a lot of years at a high level. I just think Chris needed to be there. And like Wade said, I think a championship, had he won the championship this year, I probably would have had to move him up. that'd get us started here.
All right. Well, I don't know that we've actually said it out loud. Maybe we did and I missed it, but for those of you that are wondering, Drew doesn't have Chris Paul on his list. Yes. So he is that guy in this episode. So not that we, like Wade said, not that we were all trying to bash Drew there, but Drew, what is your case against Chris Paul?
Well, I think, this is my own opinion, I think Chris Paul, he gets injured. I mean, he has played a long time, but I think his injuries, looking at these seasons, he doesn't play all of his games, but he still has played a bunch of seasons at his age. And then I think he chokes a little bit sometimes in the playoffs. Like, that's why I don't have him on my list. I got a stat for you with the choking. He is the only player in NBA history to lose 4 best of 7 series when his team is up 2-0. He's the only player. So, there's my opening statement.
All right. Well, it's only one, but I have a playoff stat, not stat, but kind of stats on my list over here. It doesn't have anything to do with his 2-0 stuff, but his stats are better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. And maybe not at the beginning of his career, but over the last few years, he's been one of the most clutch players in the NBA. He's hit a lot. He has lots of game winners. He always controls the offense, but controls it at the end. His points go up a couple points in the playoffs. His rebounds go up, and he shoots better percentage from the field in the playoffs. He has had some moments. Off the top of my head, a few years ago when he was playing with the Clippers, he had 2 really bad turnovers at the end of a game against OKC.
Cost
him. He dribbled the ball off his foot on the way up the floor once, and then I can't remember. He had 2 turnovers really late in that game, though. So I don't doubt that he's had some moments.
Another moment when he was with the Clippers that I remember watching with Dad. I think he'll remember this, is when him and DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and all of them in LA when they were playing the Jazz. I think in the first round or second round, the Jazz best player was really Gordon Hayward. And I was like, how are they not beating them? And then the Jazz end up winning the series. I don't think it even went 7, I don't think. And I was just like even with that, I thought even with a better team, they should have been able to beat the Jazz. That was just one of mine. Do you remember that, Dad? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do remember the series, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it gets tricky when you talk about stuff like this. Chris Paul has He's had one a lot of bad injuries in key moments, which has affected his team a lot. He has had a handful of bad moments that has in big games that have ruined his team's chances. But he has also had a lot of very, very good playoff moments, I think you can point to at the same time. But unfortunately, with certain players like this, when you don't have the championship yet, you're going to be remembered for the bad ones until you get the championship.
Right.
Dirk Nowitzki was known as a choke artist until he got the championship.
So was Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah. Well, I mean, in all honesty, they did. They choked multiple times in big situations. And maybe, and you can sit there and look at their stats and be like, oh, well, you know, they averaged 26 points and shot 47% or whatever. But in very important moments, they came up short and they choked. And Chris Paul is, unfortunately, whether if it's injuries or had a couple bad games or a couple bad moments or lost to less talented teams, that's going to follow him until he wins, or if he ever wins. And that'll, unfortunately, whether if it's fair or not, will be his reputation in the playoffs if he never wins. And that's the way it goes in the NBA. I mean, I think we talked about this a lot with the James Harden. James Harden has a similar playoff thing where his playoff stats really aren't bad. They're actually really good. But he's had some really bad moments. He's had a couple of times where he's gotten hurt, aka last year. But if you look at his playoff stats, they're good. They're like 24, 25 points on like 44% shooting or something like that, which isn't far off from his regular season career totals. But until you get the championship, that's how you're viewed. And that's how it goes, especially when you get into a territory of all-time great players. Those little things are what separate you. So that's just how it goes, and that's how he's going to be viewed, I think.
I think that's a really fair point, Wade.
Yeah. Drew.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Okay.
Who is your number 10 point guard?
It is Steve Nash.
I anticipated that.
I figured.
Okay, let's talk CP3 and Nash. Neither one, I mean, you mentioned Chris Paul being hurt, but in minutes per game, 34.6 for him, 31.3 for Nash. So Nash is hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's not playing as much. Now, Nash does beat him in field goal percentage. Nash shot 490 into 472. But assists, Chris Paul's 9.4 to Nash's 8.5. I mean, almost a full assist a game. Rebounds, Paul is 4.5 to 3 for Nash, 1.5 rebounds. Steals, 2.1 to 0.7. And then points, 18.3 to 14.3. That's why I have CP3 ahead of Nash on my list.
And neither of them have championships.
Right, yeah.
Correct.
Now, there is a handful of point guards that made majority of lists in this room that don't have championships or have championships of bench players in Gary Payton's instance.
Wade doesn't count it, so.
I guess my other thing is that Wade's point was very valid. You know, he doesn't have the championship. He has had some moments, and it's probably going to end up being his legacy as far as that goes. But I also go back and I look at a few things. He started his career in New Orleans, where probably the best player he ever played with was David West, and he's never going to sniff the Hall.
No, I mean,
he didn't really sniff the All-Star game.
I think they, at their best, they had,
Chandler Paul, and West.
Pages Stojakovic.
Pages Stojakovic, yeah, though.
And then was David Wesley there? Wesley?
I don't know if Wesley was there still or not. He might have been, though.
But then you had, like, Peja, David West, Tyson Chandler. It was a solid roster, but it wasn't anything through the roof.
Yeah.
But they got to the playoffs a few times, I believe.
Yeah, they were a playoff team. It looks like maybe Mo Pete would have been there.
Tyson Chandler. Bobby Jackson.
I've been an older Bobby Jackson.
Yeah, I think so.
Rasul Butler. But, I mean,
Nothing crazy. Like I said, David West was the best player he played with in New Orleans. And he's, you know, maybe a one-time All-Star maybe.
Yeah. Good player, not great.
Right. And then he goes to Clipperland, where I guess the best player he played with is Blake Griffin, who's has a handful of All-Star games. But Blake Griffin's not a Hall of Famer.
No, he can jump over a car, Alex.
The hood, anyway. sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think with the Clippers is where it starts to get tricky.
Well, that's
where it gets tricky.
They had some good teams when he was with the Clippers, but they were never the favorites. They were never even probably top two team in the West, supposed to be anyway. You know, we didn't look at them and go, man, it's them or them. You know, the Clippers or the Lakers, and whoever wins that series is going to win the championship. We never viewed them like that. And as far as injuries go, Blake's even more injury prone than CP is. There was multiple series where midway through the series, Blake's done, and then it's just CP and DeAndre Jordan, who Charles Barkley famously says if you locked him in a gym all night, he still couldn't score.
Well, I think that was a large part of the problem was on top of a couple up-and-down performances from a couple key players, Paul or Griffin, if not both, often got hurt.
Yeah.
That was a large part of the Clippers' problem, and even though they had a very loaded roster.
And then, on top of then he goes to Houston, where he does play with a future Hall of Famer. I don't think any of us argue that James Harden will be a Hall of Famer. But then they became a powerhouse. They won a bunch of games, and they took the Warriors to the brink. Obviously, CP3 gets hurt, and Harden chokes, and that ends. But they were really, really good, and they were a team that we looked at like they could challenge for a championship, and they challenged it. They didn't do it, but they challenged. Then he goes to OKC. We played with a bunch of scrubs, really. I guess Gallinari is your second best player. And now he just took a Suns team to the finals. As of this point, there's nobody on the team that's going to make the Hall. Maybe they're all too young to know.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Booker becomes a huge stat guy later. I don't know. I guess the overall point I'm trying to make is he didn't play with a bunch of big names and not win a championship. He had some teams that were pretty good. He had some teams that weren't very good. And he didn't win a championship, but I don't know how much of that is actually on Chris Paul not performing or whatever the case may be. I mean, maybe he would have beat Utah in the series you brought up earlier, mm-hmm. but he wasn't going to win a championship that year.
Probably not, but he probably going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, and you never know what might happen if, like, say this year, like all the injuries and stuff, you can't predict that. You never know what will happen with that kind of stuff, so you never know. They could have went to the Western Conference Championship and someone got hurt, like, you don't know, something could have happened.
That's true. But I do have my last part of my argument over here. Chris Paul was drafted to the Hornets, who the season before he was there won 18 games. In his rookie season, they won 38 games, a 20-game improvement. And then after that, they made the playoffs a few times in a row. And then Chris Paul was traded to the 32-win Clippers in his first season there with they won 40 games, an 8-game improvement, with Blake and Jordan both missing 20 games. Then he was traded to the Rockets, who were a 55-win team the season before he got there. But then in his first season in Houston, they won 65 games, the most in franchise history. Then he goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who the season before he was there had Russell Westbrook and PG-13. And Jeremy Grant, three starters on a second-round playoff team. And they traded them all. And CP3 came in, and we said, man, they're going to be like lottery team for sure. They're going to be a really high pick. And he took them to the playoffs. And then he signed with the Suns, who the season before had won 34 games. In his first season there, they won 51 games, went to the NBA Finals. My point being is every single place Chris Paul goes, the team gets better. Most of the time, significantly better. I think Chris Paul is the last of a dying breed of a facilitating point guard. But he's done it at a level that we have very rarely seen in NBA history.
Well, I have a question for everybody. This is for the whole group. What if, we're going to play the what if game, David Stern doesn't overrule the trade?
I was just thinking that over here.
And CP goes to play with Kobe.
He's probably got a couple chips.
How high would he be on our list now?
Well, let me ask this. Do CP3 and Kobe play together without killing each other? They're both hot-headed. They're both ball dominant, and they scream and yell at their teammates when they don't do what they want them to do.
Yeah, the teammates would definitely have a rough time with the both of them.
So if you're one of their teammates, you definitely got to be able to deal with getting yelled at.
Their teammates would have had a hard time. I don't doubt that.
They would go at each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At what point would they
have
not been able to coexist? Because it's not – we've seen both of them struggle. I mean, we've seen Kobe struggle to get along with Shaq, famously. Right. But we've also seen guys get tired of CP3.
Right.
Yeah, I'm tired of him yelling at me, treating me like he's better than me, so on and so forth. Blake thought that. DeAndre Jordan thought that. I'm sure there's more if we think about it hard enough.
I'm just thinking maybe they find a kindred spirit in each other because they both have the same mentality of, you know, they want perfection. They may go at it, and it might blow up in everybody's face, but they might really get along. Now, I'm still saying their teammates would have been miserable.
Well, I think deep down, I mean, Chris Paul before anything as a facilitator and before anything, Kobe is a scorer.
Right.
So I think it in the long run might go hand in hand, and it might be. And didn't they have Powell?
Yeah, they had Powell.
They have Powell then.
Yeah,
because if they have Powell,
that would have been really close together. I don't know if that was pre or post Powell trade.
I think.
If they have Powell, it's over. They're going to win.
That was before. I think Powell came about because they didn't get CP3. So that's when I think they had Lamar Odom and
Bynum.
Andrew
Bynum and that bunch.
But do you know
Vucevic?
Who they would have had other than Powell Gasol? They would have had Mark,
right?
Because they traded Mark for Powell.
Yeah, exactly.
So a couple years later, they would have had a stud center,
right?
It just would have taken a couple years. I don't doubt that. I'm not saying it's a no go that they couldn't have made it work. But whenever Kobe was successful in his career, it was with a spot up shooter playing point guard, not a actual point guard, because Kobe wanted the ball all the time. And when Kobe is taking 35 shots and 10 of them are stupid-ass shots, Chris Paul's going to yell at him.
Right.
I, you know, like, dude, I can get you a good shot, or I can get somebody a good shot. Why are you taking these stupid-ass shots that with three guys on you?
Yeah. And like I said, it may have blown up, but at least something to think about. David Stern may have had a huge impact on the NBA with that decision.
I don't know that still to this day, I don't know that I understand what happened in that moment when David Stern rejected the Chris Paul to the Lakers trade. I do know that the league had taken over ownership of the New Orleans franchise, so they were controlling the franchise. So David Stern, in essence, was the owner of the – what were they then, the Hornets?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they were
Hang the on Hornets. Real quick.
Okay.
Pau Gasol came to the Lakers in the 07-08 season. David Stern rejected the three-team trade that would have sent Chris Paul to the Lakers in 2011.
That would have been after they won their two championships.
Okay.
Added prime CP3 to that.
Pau and Kobe.
As Kobe and Pau were starting to get a little older. But they're both still very good.
Right, as Derek Fisher.
And like,
was probably at the end of the
deal. Ron Artest is there. Powell's there. Kobe's there. Lamar, you get CP3. Odom.
Bynum.
Odom was gone, yeah. He was at least close to leaving.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he played so much with Powell.
Well, he was there for both championships.
Yeah, he was there for both championships.
Odom's in the trade. So if the trade goes through,
he was in the CP3.
Chris Paul goes to the Lakers. The Hornets get Lamar Odom, Kevin Martin from the Rockets, Luis Scola from the Rockets, and Goran Dragic from the Rockets.
Who does the Rockets get then? Because that was two of their better players.
The Rockets get Pau Gasol.
Oh.
Oh, so Pau would have left.
But so again, it would have been a guard-dominated team with Odom and Gasol both gone. So was Bynum still there?
Bynum would have I don't think he ever left until
the end Howard of his trade. Career. He left in the Howard trade.
So, but you got to think, this is a 2011 when a lot of those players are getting older.
Right.
Odom's not in his prime anymore, I don't think. Powell's still really good, but he's probably still really good.
I would assume so.
That's really tricky. But you have Chris Paul and Kobe, and Kobe's still Kobe for at least a few more years after that. I would guess Ron Artest is still there. Maybe.
Yeah, I think he's there.
He's there for the second championship, because isn't it Ariza's there, and they trade for Artest the second one?
Yeah.
2011, Powell was 18-10.
Yeah, so he's still Powell.
53% shooting. So he had a nice season. And the Lakers kept him for three more seasons after that. So I mean he was still doing well.
Who else is on the roster? I think that's what we're trying to get at.
2011.
Who would have been around Chris Paul and Kobe if Powell and Lamar are gone?
This is the 2011. Well, maybe.
Because I'm trying to think, and I'm thinking a lot of very role players.
Jordan Farmar.
Fucking the Chris Brown.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of all these guys.
Vucevic.
You have Matt Barnes, Steve Blake, Shannon Brown, Kobe Bryant.
Shannon Brown.
Andrew Bynum, Derek Character, Devin Ebanks, Derek Fisher, Pau Gasol, Trey Johnson, Lamar Odom, Theo Ratliff. Theo must have been 80
by that time.
Oh, really. My God. He was playing in the 90s.
Yeah. Joe Smith, who, again, would have been old as hell. Sasa Vucevic, Luke Walton, and Meta World Peace.
So you have three or four decent role players plus Kobe and Chris Paul, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been interesting, because at what point did Bynum just completely become useless because he couldn't stay on the floor?
Right. That was after that time.
It was about that.
Because if you trade Gasol and Odom, because when he would miss time, it wasn't that big of a deal, because you still had both of those guys. You had three of them. But when Bynum was, if he's done and those two are gone, I mean, it's interesting.
And when Bynum went downhill, it was quick.
Oh, yeah. Once he got the big contract, he lost interest.
He was really good for a couple years, even with the injuries, and then he gets more injury-prone, and he disappears.
2012 was his last hurrah, and then he missed an entire – so 2011, the year we're talking about, he averaged 11-9 and played 54 games. And then the next season, he played 60 games, averaging 18-11. But then he missed the entire next season and never played more than like 25 games the rest of his career.
Yeah, he's done.
I'm saying if Chris Paul and Kobe are going to win a championship, it'd have to be in those next 2 years when Bynum was still effective.
Yeah, and Luke Walton was still playing a good role then.
Yeah, like Vucevic, the Brown guy was an okay role player.
Yeah.
When there's a handful, Steve Blake was a decent role player.
Yeah.
When you have a couple of decent role players, two superstars, and a good center, I'd say that had to be their window, was those 2 years, and then it would probably kind of fall apart, or they'd have to reshuffle it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It indeed would have been interesting. But I guess at the root of your question, Uncle Doug, it is, what would Chris Paul's career look like with championships?
Right.
So whether it was that trade, whether it was they win this year instead of lose to the Bucks, whatever the case may be, I think you can make a case for Chris Paul jumping all the way to number two on my point guard list with a championship.
Yeah, I think he would at least move up on mine. I'm not sure he'd go clear to two, but he'd go up.
He would go with definitely in the top five for me, maybe top four.
I'll say right now, if he would have won this year, he'd been on my list.
Because, I mean,
I'm just saying.
Everybody I have above him has a championship except Stockton.
Yeah.
So the championship's really the big thing, you know, and Stockton is the all-time leader in assists and steals. So that's kind of his big thing over Chris Paul.
Yeah.
By the way, talking about Stockton, I just saw an interview yesterday with Chris Webber. I don't know when the interview actually happened, but I just saw it yesterday. And he's like, dude, John Stockton was the biggest gangster in the NBA. He said, bro, we had a rookie one year when I was playing in Sacramento. And I said, dude, John Stockton is a gangster. And the dude was like, what are you talking about? And he's thinking like chains and hats and sagging pants and everything. He's like, no, watch. And he's like, we stood outside the stadium. John Stockton rolls up in a minivan, lets four kids out, and then goes and busts our ass in the game, and then gets back in the minivan with his kids and goes home.
Yeah.
He's like, John Stockton was a gangster.
Yeah, on the Dream Team, the people in Spain didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
They didn't know he played for the Dream Team.
Yeah, I mean, he's like our size.
Yeah.
Like,
they're walking down the street, and they're like looking at his, I don't even know what it was. Someone pointed at a shirt, and that's like, the kid's like, that's my dad. And the kid's like, no, it's not. And then I actually talked to John.
I think the lady was actually wearing a Dream Team shirt.
Yeah.
And she ran into Stockton, didn't recognize him.
Because he was just walking, like you said, with his four kids and his wife. He was pushing the stroller, and no one recognized him.
Yeah. I don't know. I know where this isn't a Stockton episode, but I just found that really funny. I just saw it yesterday from Chris Webber, so I thought it was funny to bring up tonight. I guess my big thing is, Drew, let's go over some of these guys you have on your list.
Can I say one more thing about Chris Paul before we get to something else?
Sure.
This year, when the Suns won two of their games in the Western Conference Finals, he did not play. I just want to throw that out there. They didn't need him to win two of the games in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, I agree with you, but the best player on the other team was also out.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I'm just saying, if you take two best players away, but that doesn't really, I don't know.
I guess if we run over some of these other guys, you know, there's a handful of them that don't have championships, like we mentioned previously. There's a couple of them that have championships, but not as the best player. So, you know, I don't know how, depending on which one, depends on where they're, you know, like I said, Gary Payton won it as a bench player.
Yeah.
Kidd won it as a second best player, things like that. I guess we can get into specifics if you want, but I guess what I'm asking is can you get more in depth into why this player and not
Paul? So you want me to explain why, like, I picked my 9 and 10 instead of Paul?
Yeah. I guess that's so exactly what I
was thinking. Basically, who do you have on your list that the rest of us don't?
Well, I know he has Westbrook and a couple of us don't.
No, I don't have Westbrook.
Oh, it's not you that has Westbrook? I'm sorry.
I have Westbrook.
You have my dad and Wade.
Okay, sorry.
I'll just read my list. Okay. It goes Magic,
right.
The Big O, Steph, Isaiah, John Stockton, Jason Kidd, Bob Cousy, Walt Frazier, Gary Payton, Steve Nash.
No, Walt Frazier's the one for me.
Frazier's not on my list either.
He's not on mine either.
But Payton is not on yours either,
no,
right?
No, Payton's not.
So
either.
Payton is not on a few of our lists, and neither is Walt Frazier. Because Walt Frazier's just Wade and Drew, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And Payton is the three of us. It's me, Ray, and Drew, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess everybody has Steph Curry except for me?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody has Magic. Everybody has Big O.
We all have Isaiah.
I believe we all have Isaiah. I think we all have Nash and Kidd, don't we?
What about Stockton?
And Stockton. I think we all have Stockton.
Our point guard lists are pretty slimmer besides a couple, I would say.
Yeah, through the first five, I think you and I are identical.
You have Steph at three?
Yep.
Oh, didn't know that.
I do not.
Yeah, we figured.
But that episode is coming quickly.
Yep. That's going to be a fun night.
I agree it is. So I guess why Gary Payton? I have Gary Payton on my list, but I have him much lower than
Chris Paul. Can I explain Steve Nash first since he's 10?
And then oh, yeah.
Since Gary Payton's 9?
Well, I don't mind that you explain Nash, but we all have Nash.
Yeah, we have
so Nash.
Okay,
like,
okay, that works. That works.
I just went with your 10th guy. I should have probably gone with Frazier or something, the player.
So why Payton over Paul?
I mean, obviously, they both have all 9-time defense. Now, Chris Paul has more All-NBAs with 10 or 11.
He has 10 All-NBAs. Okay,
so now, because at first, when I was first looking at this, they're all the same. Like, he has one more All-Star than Gary Payton, and then he has Rookie Year. Gary Payton's all rookie. Gary Payton has Defensive Player of the Year.
That is true. He does have that.
That's what I. And then the stats are 16 to 18 points. 4 rebounds, 4.5, and then assists is 6 to 9.5. So,
I guess that was my thought process. Drew was their accolades are almost identical,
mm-hmm.
and then Chris Paul blows them up statistically. Like when you're a point guard and there's a 3 assist difference, I feel like that's really sizable. Plus, I score more than you, and I score more efficiently than you. I mean, like, the shooting percentage, field goal percentage, you know, he only wins by, like, 1%. But then he's a 6% better from 3, and holy cow.
Probably way better.
15% better from the free throw line.
Yeah, there's not many people better than Chris Paul from the free throw line.
I will say this. I just noticed this a few minutes ago. Chris Paul was 5/10 of a 3-point percentage last year from being 50-40-90. While being 16-9 in his 16th year in the league, kind of impressive. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, Drew, is that's where I'm struggling to wrap my mind around it. I have Payton on my list, so I'm not trying to take him off your list.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is I have Chris Paul quite a bit higher, and they both are very dominant defensive players, I guess.
Yeah.
And then offensively, Chris Paul's numbers are just far superior. So I guess what I'm asking you is explain that. I'm being very long-winded.
It's all right. I don't know. I guess the thing for me is just Gary Payton's Defensive Player of the Year. I think that I bump him kind of higher up on the list than anybody else because he's the only point guard to ever do it. Is he the only guard that ever? No. Never mind. I shouldn't have said that. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't want anyone to say anything. I know.
There's this guy I know called Michael Jordan.
I know. But yeah, I think that's pretty impressive. I think that's why I bumped him higher up than that because he's the only point guard to do that. I think that's why.
Just throwing this out there, but do you think maybe watching Chris Paul so much in the playoffs when he has lost influenced you some? Because you went to that series where he and the Clippers lost, and
I've watched him.
We've watched quite a few series like that. You think maybe that had some effect on?
Probably has. But basically, my whole life, I've kind of watched him lose. I don't know. I've just always when I was.
That's a good reason. I mean, that's what you remember. That's how you're gonna feel.
Because I would say 2008-09 probably last season. Like when I was little, I remember, I think, because Alex would come over and watch NBA playoff games. I remember at halftime we'd play basketball, like in my playroom and all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's probably, and I remember it was with the Hornets then, so I remember much of the Hornets. But I remember all basically him with the Clippers and all that stuff. I remember most of those series, them losing, never making it to the Western Conference, sometimes even lucky to get out of the first round. So that's probably some of the reason why I don't.
So If you would have watched Nash and Stockton and Kidd do that, you would feel differently about them?
Probably a little bit, yeah. I wouldn't. I don't know. It's hard with me. Like, cause I can't say Gary Payton's probably the same thing. He made the finals one time.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I would have, like, watched them, I don't know. It's hard because I'm younger, so I haven't seen all these players as much as you guys. Like,
well, I just kind of threw that out there because I'll put it back on myself. The James Harden episode. When you guys started presenting all your stuff, it dawned on me that watching James Harden choke in the playoffs is a lot of the reason why I didn't have him on my list.
I can feel you on that.
So
stats wise, he.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It was hard for me. I wasn't a big James Harden fan. Well, not really. I like him a little bit more than Nets, but I never really was. But looking at his stats, I'm like, they look pretty good. They do. Mm-hmm. They really do.
At and times when you're bouncing back and forth with somebody, you know, stuff like that.
And we all get mad because he travels all the time. So that's another reason why, if you don't like the player too, that sways your.
Well, I mean, that's happened in a few episodes where someone just flat out doesn't like the person or doesn't like the way they play
or something they did.
They're not going to put them on their list.
Truth.
I think that's happened with all of us.
So I don't know that you were trying to say this, but do you not like Chris Paul?
No. I don't like Chris Paul. I think it's. I do like Chris Paul. I don't know. I just. I don't, well, that's which not it. It's not that I don't like him. I just think his playoffs is what's really got me. My whole life, he hasn't really won much. Okay.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have a championship. I mean, life and everybody's life. He doesn't. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have it.
Well, like, kind of what I was trying to say is, like, for example, like, I think it's pretty obvious at this point. I really don't like Allen Iverson.
Right.
And therefore he has not on my list. I think it's safe to say through certain comments made off and on, Alex and Ray don't really like Harden or Westbrook, and they didn't make their list.
That's true.
I think if you listen to the episode, Uncle Doug does not like Kevin McHale. He did not make the list.
I don't think Alex and Ray like.
That's a big factor in Steph. What you watch and what you like.
Steph's on my list, though.
You don't like him, though. I remember Christmas when I wore my Steph Curry shirt.
Hate is a strong word.
Ray hates Curry.
Okay, well, when you say hate, though, like this is sports hate. Right. This is not like I'm hoping bad things happen to you.
You're not personally hating the person.
Yes, yes. No, I completely agree with your sentiment.
It rubs off on your opinion.
It does.
Because I always think they're really good.
I would always tease Alex when we go to Christmas or Thanksgiving. I'm like, Steph Curry's shooting three. Then he'd be like, this is stupid. This is not real basketball.
I mean, those are legit four or five players that I just named that you can tell if you listen that we don't like, and they didn't make certain lists. We don't like them.
That's true.
And that's just how it goes.
That's true. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, at certain times, we've had it thrown in our face, like, how can you have this guy and not this guy? I mean, essentially, that's what you did with your Harden AI argument.
Me?
Like, yeah, you. Like, you were like, guys, how could you have AI on your list and not James Harden? And we're all kind of sitting here like, that was a really good point, Wade. Like,
Harden beat him in everything.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, and it's, I guess.
We'll make it up to you, Wade.
We have a last episode where we can change lists.
That's true. That's true.
Throw it out there. I do like Chris Paul.
Okay.
That's not.
So you decided now.
Yeah. I decided before. I do like him. It's his losing that. I was going to say that. I don't like him. I don't like his losing.
I guess here's my thing with that argument, Drew, is, as we've said 100 times, I feel like, on this podcast, the ends of our list are littered with guys that didn't win. There's not enough winners to fill out our list. I mean, we could all go, you know, put a bunch of 60s Celtics and 90s Bulls on our list and make sure we have guys with championships on our list, but they're not really great players. My point being is, you know, if losing is the cutoff for you, we have some guys on your list that also lost.
Okay, now I got to defend this side. I don't want a bunch of people like that, like you just said. I don't want all those Celtics or those Bulls players who didn't play, like Robert Parrish, the first year the Bulls won. He didn't play a single game. I didn't know he was on the team, and he literally won. So I'm not saying I want winners. I think it's like what my dad said. I've been alive, and like since I've been remembered, it's just him. I don't know. I just see it in my. That's what I think Chris Paul is like. He always falls short of the championship, I think, is what I'm saying. Like, I think he's had not terrific opportunities. Obviously, at the beginning with the Hornets, I'm not saying he's supposed to win there. But I think in L.A., he should have at least made the Western Conference Finals at least once.
I think those Clipper teams are pretty damn good.
I went back.
I think that's the only thing I would have pushed back on what Alex said earlier about going through his teams. Those Clipper teams were pretty loaded. He should have won more there, I believe.
But they were never the favorites.
Maybe they should have. I mean, we're talking about Chris Paul, who we all, at least outside of Drew, have as a top 36 player ever.
Yes.
At point guard. We had Blake Griffin, who was in his prime a top two or three power forward in the league. Bill Simmons once said he was the third best player in the entire league one year. So he was a legit all-star / maybe superstar in his prime.
And then you got freaky athletic DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan was one of the best shot blockers and rebounders, if not the best, for a handful of years. You had good role players in J.J. Redick, who's one of the greatest three-point shooters of this entire era. You had, I mean, just
Jamal Crawford, sixth man of the year.
Three or four times sixth man of the year. You had good role players like Big Baby Davis and what's his name? The point guard for the Clippers now.
Oh.
Was Reggie Jackson? No, wrong point guard, I think.
Reggie Jackson.
Beverly.
Bledsoe and Beverly.
Yeah, Bledsoe was there for
Bledsoe
a few years.
Bledsoe and Beverly were both there. Like, those are teams that should have been favored to win, maybe. Well, I think they did not achieve their potential, and they had a championship-winning coach on top of it. I think they underachieved.
Who was their coach?
Point.
Doc Rivers.
Was he? Oh, yeah, you're right. Doc Rivers coach. Was there for a couple of years.
I think they underachieved, and Chris Paul is at least part of that. I'm not saying it's all on him, because it's not, but
no,
he's part of them underachieving.
So I'm just looking at the playoffs here. Just pulled it up. So his first year with the Clippers, he beats Memphis in the first round, mm-hmm. and then loses to San Antonio in the second round. And then the following year, he loses to Memphis in the first round. And then the following year after that, he beats Golden State in the first round and loses to the Thunder in the second round. Then the following year, he beats San Antonio in the first round and loses to Houston in the second round. And then the following year after that, they lose to Portland in the first round. And then is the Utah series that Drew mentioned earlier, where they lost to Utah in the following year. And that is the end of the Clippers' run. So they were in the second round majority of years, I guess. But, yeah, they never made a Western Conference Finals. They lost in the first round a few times. I don't know which one. Some of these I don't know, though. Like, which San Antonio teams are these?
I would say the first one is probably early Kawhi, the end of Duncan, I would say.
What 2 years were they playing the Heat in the finals back-to-back? What 2 years were that?
What was it? Dirk won in 11, didn't he? Because Kobe won 09
and 10. Like 13 and 14 or 12 and 13?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, so 12 is one of the years he lost to San Antonio.
Okay.
And then the 14 Thunder was, I mean, I guess that's at least Durant and Westbrook, if it's not. Mm. I think Harden would have been gone by that point.
Yeah,
at 14.
Probably.
Yeah. It was close. And then in 15, he beats San Antonio, whoever's on that team, but then loses to Houston.
Which is probably Harden, I would say.
Harden, who? Was that Dwight?
Was Dwight there?
Was that not even Dwight?
It's probably just Harden.
Did he get beat by Harden?
That is Dwight. It's Dwight. Dwight is there.
Dwight. Okay.
And that series, Harden, Dwight, Trevor Ariza, Jason Terry, Josh Smith, Capella's there. Those guys.
How old is Capella?
20.
Oh, okay. So he's like a rookie almost.
Blake and Redick. Oh, Chris Paul gets hurt in that series and doesn't finish the series, so that's part of the problem.
One of those.
Blake and Redick and DeAndre are there. It's Blake, Redick, Paul, Crawford, Jordan, Rivers, Barnes, Hawes, Big Baby Davis, Lester Hudson, 35-year-old Hedo Turkoglu.
Isn't Paul Pierce there somewhere?
No, on this team.
So he's on one of them later.
Dante Jones at 34 and Ekpe Udo. I don't know how you say that. I guess what I'm saying is they may have slightly underachieved, but I never viewed those Clippers teams as teams that should have been winning championships.
Really? I don't know. I guess, well, I think we're just going to disagree.
I mean, they weren't better than the Lakers teams that won championships or the Spurs teams. Or
I mean, but you have what? How long were those guys together? 4 or 5 years? Maybe 6 years?
The Clippers, you mean?
Yeah, like that core of players.
I think 6 or 7.
One, two. Hold on. That's not true. One.
Like
two,
Paul Griffin, three, Jordan, four, Jamal Crawford, JJ Redick.
6 years. 6 years.
I don't know.
There was 3 first-round exits and 3 second-round.
I feel like that's really underachieving. I don't like. I mean, it's not like the Spurs are winning every year. I mean, the Lakers. Got old and got washed up for a little bit. And part of that, the second half of it.
I'm not saying they got to win the championship year, but I think they should at least made a Western Conference
much
finals.
More talented than the Grizzlies. I think. Then I think they're more talented than the Rockets, to be honest. I don't know.
I guess what it boils down to me is the Rockets team we were just talking about has 2 first-ballot Hall of Famers on it. Chris Paul's not playing with any Hall of Famers. And those Spurs teams have like 4 Hall of Famers on them. Now, they're various stages of their careers, obviously.
I mean, I think the Clippers team is better than the Houston team you just named. I don't think Dwight Howard blows DeAndre Jordan out of the water, and Blake Griffin's going to be 8 times better than whatever power forward they had. And then you have Chris Paul and James Harden, 2 different kinds of players, but there's the 2 team superstars.
What?
And then J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford's the 6th man of the year half the time in that era. J.J. Redick, Big Baby Davis, Spencer Hawes. I mean, you can laugh at those players, but those are actually good role players back in the day.
I just can't believe you just said DeAndre Jordan was as good as Dwight Howard.
In his prime,
I'm speechless.
The only difference is like 4 points per game. That's really the only difference.
4 points? DeAndre Jordan, has he ever averaged double-digit points?
I mean, I would imagine. And yeah.
DeAndre Jordan?
I mean, prime DeAndre Jordan got you like 15 rebounds and 2 or 3 blocks and maybe 10, 12 points. Half of Dwight's career, he got 14 to 15 points a game. I mean, we're not talking about Orlando Dwight where it's averaging 20 a game. So I don't really think. I mean, we can look real quick.
You are right. He did get up double digits a few times here.
Did you say that they lost to Portland 1 year?
They did lose to Portland.
So what would that be? Young Damian Lillard and
I'd be like LaMarcus Aldridge, young Damian Lillard, young Wesley Matthews, Nicholas Batum.
Was Brandon Roy there then?
Possibly, depending on what year.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already taken that page down, so I'm not.
I was just asking because I figured that's who would be on the Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they should have made some Western Conference Finals. I guess what all I'm saying is I don't ever remember thinking of them as like this team should be winning championships. Blake Griffin's a buster, man. Blake Griffin is your 2nd best player. You're not winning championship. I really don't believe that.
What do you mean by buster?
I think we say that now.
Intrigued me.
But during that time period, they thought a lot of Blake Griffin.
We thought he was a lot.
He was a top 5 player in the NBA for a while.
Yeah, I mean, now we look back on it and say, yeah.
You really didn't like him
but at the time.
I don't have anything against Blake Griffin. I don't dislike him. That's not the word I would use. I think because he could jump really high, he got really overrated. He had a couple of really good years, but he was always a piss-poor defender. He, after his, like, rookie season, he was a below-average rebounder, and he dunked on a bunch of guys. I'll give it to him. Like, and he had a couple of really nice scoring seasons, but then it tailed off really fast, and he missed a boatload of games. Like, and I never viewed Blake Griffin as a superstar.
Really? I mean, just for example here, like we're looking up from 2010 to 2019, we're looking at 22 points, 20, 18, 24, 22, 21, 21, 21. We got a combined season here.
Yeah, I got you. It's 21 between those years. He averaged 22 points and 9 rebounds.
Yeah,
for those
rebounds,
years. Yeah.
12, 11, 8, 9, 7, 8, 8, 7, another combined year. 7 or 8, and then 7. I mean, yeah, he does miss some time, but I mean, those are legit all-star, borderline superstar numbers, I feel like. He's actually a great passer for a power forward. His career average as a power forward passing wise is on level with Chris Webber. He's over 4 a game.
He is a good passer. Yeah, he's averaged 4.3 for his career.
1 year, he almost averaged 6 assists a game. I mean, he's constantly above 3 and in the 4s and 5s in his prime. I mean, I don't know. I viewed him as a superstar for a period of time. Obviously, he's not now. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess we just disagree on Blake Griffin.
Well, I think we're – you're saying you didn't see him as the favorite, and I agree with you. They probably weren't the favorites. But I thought that they definitely the 3 years they went out in the first round, I thought they underachieved. Because I thought they were one of the better teams that should have been going farther.
Yeah.
They certainly had the aspirations to take that mantle in the West.
I don't remember specific instances, but yeah, I think it's always a disappointment to go out in the first round when you're a great player. I think that's always a disappointment. Now, one of those years was like to the Grizzlies. I don't know. I mean, that's the grit and grind Grizzlies era. They beat them one year and lost to them the next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how what year that was and who all was there, but I do remember specifically whenever because they played each other in the playoffs a few times there, the Memphis and L.A., I mean, and it was like a running joke. Anytime Z-Bo plays Blake Griffin, he wants to go home. Like, he couldn't perform against Z-Bo for whatever reason, you know, the physical play, the – whatever the case, I don't know. I guess maybe I do have some dislike for Blake Griffin. I don't feel like I dislike him necessarily. I just really don't think he's that good. Like, he played with the best point guard in the NBA and caught a bunch of lobs from him. Like, he led the NBA in dunks for a few years, and then his career rapidly declined. I mean, he put up good stats when he was on the floor. I don't know. At least for a while, he hasn't for a few years, but he's in his 30s now.
Well, while we're talking about the Clippers, this is more recently NBA news, but the Los Angeles Clippers are trading Patrick Beverley, Rajon Rondo, and Daniel O'Toole to the Memphis Grizzlies for guard Eric Bledsoe.
I didn't even know Eric Bledsoe. Oh, no, he got traded there because in the
10 minutes ago.
That's a good trade. Patrick Beverley has been a negative for a couple of years now.
Patrick Beverley's been a problem for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
negative on the floor and off the
floor. Like, just shoving down Chris Paul from behind.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
His play has been shitty for a couple years.
Here's the thing. He's still the pretty much the same player on the defensive end of the floor, but he's become a complete negative offensively now.
Yeah.
Because he was always that guy that would, like, get in your point guard's ass and disrupt you defensively, but he couldn't ball handle well enough to run your offense, so you had to have a ball handler on the floor with him. But now he can't shoot for some reason.
Right.
So it's like, well, now on offense we just have to, like, put you in the corner and nobody's going to guard you.
I think his defense has gone down too. I mean, he'll still get in your ass and get 5 fouls a game and get physical with you, but people run right past him the past couple of years. His quickness is leaving him, and point guards are just blowing right past him too.
And then,
like you said, now he's even getting worse on offense, which was the worst part of his game to begin with. And now that his specialty in defense is getting worse, and the NBA is getting softer, so he can't even be a dying disruption on top of it. And he's worse on offense, and he's getting slower. And he's just not a positive anymore.
Mm-mm. But I will say, maybe he might be able to bring something to Memphis. They're a young, inexperienced team. He has tons of playoff experience. He's tough, like we said, tough-minded guy, getting your ass. He may be like a...
He can do what P.J. Tucker just did for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right, right. He may have something to bring. I'm not saying he's going to turn their franchise around or something stupid like that, but he may have something to bring for the table in a different setting. The Clippers are a veteran-laden team trying to win a championship. He doesn't really have much of a role on that, but with a young team trying to build towards playoff success, he may be able to be helpful in a way or two. Yeah.
And Bledsoe, at this point in his career, is still a positive defender and has upside on offense when he's not asked to do too much, which on the Clippers, I don't think he'll be asked to do too much.
Well, he won't. He just won't have the ball in his hands as much. You know, yes. The ball will be with PG, or not this season, but in the future, Kawhi and or Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. Well, they just re-signed Reggie Jackson, so he'll be the main point guard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've talked about this before. I don't know if it was just you and me off the air or on the air, but we talked about Eric Bledsoe is a very good quality player in today's NBA when he's not asked to do too much. If you give him a role and he has a good role in your team, not a huge role, he's a very plus player. But if you ask him to do too much, he can fall apart and it gets a little wacky.
Well, he had a pretty good reputation. Not like a superstar or even an all-star, but like a good reputation around the league until Milwaukee. But the problem in Milwaukee was everybody decided we're going to build a wall, we're going to stand in the paint, and not let Giannis beat us. So Milwaukee, in turn, looked at Bledsoe and Chris Middleton and said, go win basketball games, because they're triple-teaming Giannis every time he touches the ball. And that leads into what Wade was saying. They were asking him to do things that he's not capable of doing. He wasn't going to be a leading scorer in a playoff series.
Also, a couple years ago, outside of Giannis, they were looking for that second All-Star to help him, and Chris Middleton hadn't emerged yet as quite the All-Star he is now. So they were looking for other players to just step up, and it ended up being Middleton, but at that point it wasn't anyone yet, and Bledsoe had, you know, kind of fell off.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But are we done talking about Chris Paul?
Yeah, I think we can, give our closing statements on Chris Paul.
I'd say we're done.
So, same order or reverse order on our closing statements here?
Let's do the same.
All right. So, Wade, what's your closing statement, bud?
I mean, like I said, I think he's obviously a top 10, I think. I mean, literally, if you just look at his accolades and accomplishments, he blows a lot of other point guards out of the water. Just accolades alone. I'm not even counting his really impressive career numbers and career averages. And like I said, the championship is his last step of his career that will put him in the upper tier of all-time point guards. I think he's achieved pretty much just about everything you can achieve without a championship. And I hope he gets it. I like Chris Paul a lot. Without the championship, I think he's about as high as he's going to get. But he's definitely an all-time great player, in my opinion.
I agree with pretty much what Wade said. I think Chris Paul's a great player. Obviously, I have him at 5 on my point guard list, so obviously I think he had a great career, even if it ended today. But I also agree with Wade. I hope he gets a championship. That being said, I think we're entering a portion of his career where I hope it's not a Gary Payton-esque championship. I mean, he's late 30s now. So I'm hoping he can still, you know, be at least a carrying member of a championship team if he's not the best player, one of the best players on a championship team. I don't think he's going to win an MVP at this point in his career, but I do think he's an all-time great point guard, and he will remain on my list. Ray?
Well, like you said before, he's the last of a dying breed. We'll probably never see this style of point guard ever again, at least for a long time. Too much isolation, too much, you know, whatever else they want to play in this era of basketball, but this is the guy. Greatness is him, whether he's got a title or not, but this is, like I said, the mold for the modern day point guard.
Uncle Doug?
Yeah, I have to agree with what everybody else said. I mean, there's not much I can add to that. I feel like he's 6 on my list. He wins the title. He's going up. He's been good for a long time. Not just borderline, but good for a long time.
And Drew.
I don't know. Chris Paul is just... I don't know, it's hard. I see him as, not all of those are not his fault in the playoffs, I will say that, but I just see him as a loser because he doesn't. Not okay. Losers. Kind of, I don't know. It sounds so strong in my head. I don't want to call Chris Paul a loser, but it kind of is.
Loser is one of those words that it can mean multiple things. Like you're not saying like he's a bum, like yeah. a loser. He's a loser because he lost.
Yeah.
You know.
He had some playoff failures.
Yeah. Not regular season is fine. It's just some of his playoff. Performances or not, and some of his injuries and stuff are not his fault and all that stuff, but he does get injured some years more than he hasn't had a perfect healthy career like some other players, but not as healthy. But I think those Clippers teams could have achieved more, at least made one Western Conference Finals appearance, if not a couple. So that's my closing statement.
All right, so that will close up our Chris Paul portion of this episode, which will move us into trivia. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, okay. All right, Drew, what you got, buddy?
What four basketball franchises retired Wilt Chamberlain's number?
You said four?
Yeah.
I wrote down three really, really fast, and then I went, Wow. I don't know.
All right, I got mine.
All right, I got a guess.
I'm stumped.
Ray?
I'm ready, but not really, but I'm ready.
All right. Okay. I got Warriors, Sixers, Lakers, and then the Heat.
I got Warriors, Sixers, Lakers, and I don't have a fourth. Sorry.
Yeah. Lakers, Sixers, Warriors, and the Globetrotters.
Oh, okay. Good guess.
And I drew a blank on everyone except for the Lakers.
Wade got it right.
All right.
It was the Lakers, Sixers, Warriors, and the Globetrotters.
Well, I read an article a couple years ago that the Heat have a bunch of retired numbers, but none of them played for the Heat.
Oh,
like okay. Michael Jordan is retired there. Wayne Gretzky is retired there. Like, cool. Not even all of them are basketball players. Like, they have a handful of retired numbers in the rafters, but they're not Heat players. So that's why I guess the Heat, just because I was like, I don't have no
that's
idea.
That's how the Heat weren't.
make sure you mark down my right answer, Alberta.
Yes, I will.
All right, can I do my trivia after everybody's done?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'll wait for you to mark down my point.
Yeah, we won't want you to lose that.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
Yeah, devastating for us.
Actually, I have a super interesting one. Okay. As we all know, Russell Westbrook was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers very recently. When he was traded to the Lakers, him and LeBron surpassed Durant and James Harden as the highest paid duo in the NBA. So I've just given you number one and number two. Can you give me three, four, and five as the highest paid duos in the NBA?
Well, I'm actually stunned that they're number one.
The top 10 is actually quite mesmerizing. You'd be shocked who's in the top 10.
Because the highest paid player in the NBA has another player on his team that is also top 10 in salary. So I'm surprised they're not number
LeBron
one.
LeBron and Westbrook are number one at $85.3 million on two players.
So you're looking for how many now? I'm sorry.
LeBron and Westbrook are one.
Yes.
Durant and Harden are number two. Give me three, four, and five.
Three, four.
And this is all Duos. Time? This all time, not
this,
current?
This is right now.
Right now.
Ooh. Three, four, and five highest paid duos in the NBA.
Wow.
I'll give you, well, I don't know how much of a hint this is, but I'd say one is fairly obvious. One, if you sit and think about it, it'd probably come to you. And one, a little bit of a stumper.
I've got one.
One might throw you off. So think deeply.
This wow.
I think I might have got the stumper one.
Maybe.
I don't even know. Damn.
All right. Two down.
And actually, Westbrook and LeBron passed Durant and Harden by 0.1 million. So $100,000. I'm considering doing 6 through 10 as my next trivia. But it's so interesting, I kind of want to talk about it. Well, I won't do 5 of them. That's not fair.
God dang it.
This is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
I can't think of the third one.
Six through 10 really throw you for a loop. I probably won't do it as my next question because it probably wouldn't be fair. I'll tell you 6 through 10 just for fun after you're done because it'll get you.
All right, I got my answer, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
I know I'm wrong because I've only got one.
You don't even have guesses, Candace?
I'm not even going to guess.
All right, I guess, but I don't think my last one's right.
All right. Ray, you got some guesses?
Yeah, hold on. Okay.
Okay. Alberta?
I have Curry and Clay.
Okay.
Freak and Middleton. And Butler and Lowry.
Okay.
I said Kawhi and PG.
Okay.
Okay, so I got the Splash Bros, Giannis and Middleton, and then Paul and Booker.
Okay.
I have Kawhi and Paul George, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Okay. Alex and Ray were both 2 out of 3. Very close. It goes LeBron, Westbrook, Durant, Harden, Splash Brothers, Greek Freak and Middleton, and Lillard and McCollum are number 5.
Damn.
By the way, let me give you 6 through 10 just for fun, right? Throw you for a fucking loop. Number 6 is Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert,
which is class of 9.
Number 7, John Wall and Eric Gordon.
Oh my God.
Number 8 is Booker and Paul. Number 9, Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. And number 10 doesn't even include the best player on the team. It is Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. It doesn't include Joel Embiid.
Tobias Harris makes more than Joel Embiid?
Yes, he makes like 30.
I knew he got a big contract, but I didn't think it was bigger than Embiid.
Wow. I didn't know Ben Simmons.
He got re-upped sooner or more recently.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Isn't that shocking?
That is shocking.
Embiid isn't even the second or first highest paid player on the team.
Towns and Russell being on that list and can't even win 30 games, that's what's really pathetic. Crazy.
That's the worst one, I think.
I will say, though, I never approved of Rudy Gobert making $200 million, and him and Mitchell being on this list is a joke.
When you're not a good offensive player and you can be abused in certain matchups on defense, there's no way you should be a max player.
Right, exactly. And this isn't even just, I know it's an asinine statement, but this isn't even a max country. This is a super max.
Yeah, and he's 3-time defensive player of the year, but we just saw in the Clippers series, they abused him. They used him to their advantage.
But here's the other big thing. I just listened to a whole podcast about it the other day. When he plays Jokic and Embiid, the other dominant centers in the league, they murder him.
I know Jokic murders him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you play against the other big men of your generation and they kill you, I can't pay you. When you are a defensive superstar. Like or a defensive star. That's what you're supposed to be, is a defense player. Because they were in the playoffs, they lost to the Clippers. They put Terrence Mann on him, who's 6'5".
It worked.
And he couldn't score. They were throwing in the ball on the block, and he couldn't score on a 6'5 guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Rudy Gobert.
I don't know how he's 3-time dude.
Who's up next? We're getting sidetracked in here.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go real fast.
All right.
Rays are always very interesting.
Yeah, the last couple have been like population or something. Yeah.
All right. So I won't make you name 7 players, but there are 7 to choose from. I won't give you who they are because that will give away the answer. But the question is, who led the NBA in scoring for 3 consecutive seasons? There are 7 of them. All you got to do is name 1 out of the 7.
Just 1.
Okay.
Just name 1.
I'm good.
All right, I got one.
All right.
I got Jordan.
I got Jordan.
Jordan.
George Gervin.
Okay. So, Jordan's a right. Gervin's a right. Here are the other five. George Mikan, Neil Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, Bob McAdoo, and Kevin Durant.
AD! Yeah, I remember that. Kevin Durant went in three straight. Yeah.
Well, Jordan led the league in scoring like 75% of the years he played.
Doesn't he have like 9 of 14 years or something stupid like that?
Every year he won the championship, I believe, led the league in scoring too. So which was almost unheard of.
No, I thought you were going to – you said not seven, so I thought you were going to say like three or four. And then when you said one, I was like, yes.
I'll give you guys a gimme every once in a while. Won't be very often, but I'll give you one.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and do mine then.
What – we'll go back to scoring again. What active player has scored the most points in a game?
Okay.
I won't even ask you to say how many.
Just I got mine.
I'm pretty positive in it.
Yeah, me too.
I remember him scoring a lot, but I don't know if it's more than some of the other people. I'm not sure.
I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to figure out different
I'm pretty
answers.
Positive I know it.
Okay.
You got yours, Ray?
Yeah.
All right.
Booker.
I said Lillard.
It's Booker with 70.
I thought he scored 70.
Yeah, I knew he scored 70, but I was sitting racking my brain trying to figure out if somebody else did it.
Because it had been like the most since like David Robinson or something crazy like that, yeah.
There wasn't some weird guy who hasn't played in forever sitting on some bench somewhere. Yeah.
All right, that leaves me, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, my question is fairly simple because I've been on a roll here with this year's stats. The 2021 season, who led the NBA in defensive box plus minus? Speaking of defense.
Rudy Gobert.
You would think since he was defensive player of the year. You would really think.
All right, I got mine.
Yeah, I got mine.
Okay.
Drew?
Got it.
What you got, guys?
Giannis.
I put Gobert.
I put Ayton.
I put Drew Holiday.
The correct answer is Nerlens Noel.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes. He was number one. Did he
play for the Knicks?
Yes.
Yeah. Last year?
Yeah. Draymond was actually number two. Mm. Giannis was three. Yeah. Jokic was number four.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it was. And then Rudy comes in at five. Let's see if any of your other guesses.
Well, I know Rudy Gobert's defensive metrics are usually through the roof, so I figure that's safe big.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a bad guess, for sure.
I mean, one defensive player of the year for the third time.
Yeah. But. All right. So, that wraps up our episode. Well, you heard about Chris Paul. You heard us miss a bunch of questions.
We got a couple right this week.
I got like
three. Yeah, we got a couple questions.
I got
questions.
Two.
So, next week, please tune in to listen to George Gervin, who will be defended by everybody but me.
Are you doing our
trivia standings?
Totals?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit, sorry. Man, I'm off my game. All right, so after today's totals, the standings are as follows. Ray with 17. Alex and Doug with 34. Drew with 35. And Wade with 46.
Jeez.
Wade extended his lead.
Ah, I like it. I like it.
Yep. We just need Wade to get sick and miss a bunch of episodes.
Then we remember we're not even halfway done yet.
I'll still kick your ass.
So anyway, please tune in next week for the George Gervin episode. And thanks for tuning in this week to Sports the Nemo Way.